Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we've got retired Chief Ralph Ornelas. He's all the way from Los Angeles County. Yeah, the Sheriff's Office. You know, they don't have They don't have offices in California. They have departments. And we've also got Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org, also retired from Las Vegas Metro Police Department, where they do real police work, Randy tells me. And then we've got Lieutenant Jeff Weninger. He's the author of the new book, On Thin Ice, at onthinicebook.com. He's also from LAPD. Yeah, but look at Chief Ralph. He just got the special box in the mail from Jeff, and he's holding that book up. So thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. Appreciate it. A shout out to our sponsors. Guys, please support our sponsors. They go to the great lengths to bring this good quality content to you. We've got our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, our satellite sponsor, ComplianTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And yes, thanks to them, we're streaming to over a million followers right now on the live show. And TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Since Jeff is on the show today, we will be doing a $20 TwoBells gift card code giveaway. Stay tuned for information on how to win that if you're on the stream. Also, FishOrlandoBass.com. You know, if you like bass fishing and you're coming to Orlando, and I see Randy's paying attention all of a sudden, all you have to do, drop the wife and the kids or the grandkids off. Okay, Randy, we know you don't have grandkids, but or we know you don't have kids that you know of. But anyhow, drop them off at Disney and then take the foot off the brake and head over to Zach in Orlando, fishorlandobass.com, do a bass fishing charter. Or if you're feeling very adventurous, you can do the alligator hunting, catching and relocating the alligator, Florida alligators. I mean, what an opportunity. So fishorlandobass.com. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Diedrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Yates with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now, guys, what in the world are we talking about today? Hey, we got some great stuff wrapping up. And on this Halloween, here we go. We got two main stories. Ted Cruz demands a judge Boasberg's impeachment over secret GOP subpoenas. Now, that name, Boasberg, it might ring a bell with some of you guys. And don't forget what he did to Trump. And it's coming right back on him. You wait till you hear that story. Then we got TikTok users. They're threatening looting and violence as the food stamp program is getting ready to run out. Now, Trump has said that he's not going to let that happen. I don't know where he's going to get the funds, but of course, the Dems currently have the government shut down. And so after today, you could see a run on some of these stores. So stay tuned. Also, we've got a very interesting story. You got some pants on, officer. Policeman caught without pants on a court video call. Yeah, it did happen. I saw it, and I can't get that image out of my head. And that's why the people on our show, no one stands up during a live show. Then we got body cam footage released of a shootout during a pursuit on I-84. We got a man armed with a replica firearm. He's fatally shot when he runs at a San Diego police officer. And then we got an ex-South Carolina sheriff pleads guilty to drug-related crimes and stealing from the Benevolent Association. Wow. And then we got a canine. You know I love canine videos. Yeah, and this is where else, Randy? North Las Vegas police. And we have a canine bite, taking down a bad guy. I love it. And then an off-duty officer, an off-duty cop, he crashes into a fleeing suspect on a motorcycle who had just shot and killed a California deputy. Man, that's great. Great stuff. I mean, it's horrible, tragic, incident that happened, but a cop that's off-duty in California, having the stones to do that. This guy needs to get award and get recognized. So anyhow, there we go. Let's start off with our two main stories real quick here. RVMnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media. Ted Cruz demands Judge Boasberg's impeachment over secret GOP subpoenas. I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole in this. We're already aware of a lot of the information that was formerly classified that's being declassified right now, thanks to Chuck Grassley. This judge, James Boasberg, he's an Obama-appointed judge. He secretly authorized the Department of Justice to seize private phone records belonging to Ted Cruz, senator, and other Republican senators, and this is reported by the Gateway Pundit. And there's been a press conference in Washington, and Cruz alleged that Biden administration Justice Department, the DOJ, under the direction of former special counsel Jack Smith. They subpoenaed his phone records, Ted Cruz's phone records, and 8 other GOP senators as part of the investigation tied to the 2020 election. He just described it as a fishing expedition that violated constitutional protections. And so he kind of goes on talking about that. Now, AT&T gets a subpoena, and apparently they decide not to honor it. And Cruz said that, hey, you cannot comply because this is protected by the speech and debate clause of the U.S. Constitution. And so according to Cruz, Judge Boasberg steps in and he issues an order barring AT&T from notifying the senators that their phone data has been targeted, and the gag order was supposed to remain in place for at least a year. And, you know, Boasberg's back in the limelight. Boasberg wrote in his order that there were reasonable grounds to believe that such disclosure would result in the destruction of or tampering of evidence, intimidation of potential witnesses, and serious jeopardy to the investigation. And he said reasonable grounds to believe. And of course, that's countered by Senator Ted Cruz saying that's just a bunch of BS, basically. And now the House of Representatives, they're making a move to see if they can impeach Judge Boasberg. So there we have it. Any commentary on this one, guys, or any surprises or shocks? I'd love to hear from you guys. Randy Sutton.
You know, the criminality that was conducted by the Department of Justice, the FBI, judges under the guise of these investigations. I wish I could say I was shocked, but of course I can't be. But there does have to be consequences for this. You know, we hear on the left, you know, people saying, you know, this is vindictiveness. If there are not consequences, if there is not an investigation into the conduct of people who are supposed to be safeguarding our Constitution and the rights of the people, then this can happen again, and it must never happen again. This is overreach on a scale that we've never seen before in this nation, and that, you know, all because of the Trump derangement syndrome that has affected so many people, and I fully believe that you know, what's happening now with the FBI, with Kash Patel being in there, investigations that are taking place, firings that are taking place. This is long overdue. And I just hope that the rot that is so clear within the Department of Justice and the FBI, that they can excise it, because this is literally, it's treasonous against our nation.
You know, well said, Randy, and I look at all of us on the screen and some of the audience. I look at some of my investigators that have been investigated by the FBI on search warrants. They question them. We've been sued on. And I say to myself, if we're going to be, as law enforcement officials, deputy sheriffs, police officers held accountable for the code of ethics and by policy and by the Constitution, then this judge should be held accountable, and all the people along with him, Jack Smith and everybody else, the same way we are held accountable. And I agree 110% what you said, Randy, not because you come from New Jersey, because you spoke the truth.
Well, thanks, Ralph. Hey, good, and a good start. Boasberg, I'm so glad that he's back in, and it's so aggravating to have a judge like that, and now they're exposing some of the stuff that he's been involved with. So I suspect that there's more that hasn't trickled down yet, and I'm so glad that they're trickling the information out, so that we, you know, if it's just a massive info dump here today, gone tomorrow, and it doesn't have the same, you know, dramatic effect and stuff. So we need to take this in small doses so we can process it. And I need it in small doses. And of course, the American people certainly do. So if you guys are ready, we've got another one here back to back here. Our next one. And it's a main story. Same news source, rvmnews.com. TikTok users are threatening looting and violence as food stamp funds are running out. Is there any shock of social media videos circulating on TikTok? And I absolutely hate TikTok because of the China connection. I don't have a presence on TikTok. I don't go to TikTok. I don't watch crap on TikTok. And this show will not be on TikTok unless maybe it everything goes through with it being, you know, an American thing. But the TikTok show users, they're urging theft and violence as federal food stamp benefits are facing interruption because of this government shutdown, and is raising alarms around law enforcement and Republican critics who say the posts are threatening public safety. Now, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, they are warning this month that SNAP, which of course is that food program, supplemental nutrition assistance program, it will not have sufficient funds to cover full November benefits for roughly 42 million people across the country because of the lapse in appropriations. Now, and it's pouring a bunch of clips on TikTok and other platforms actually too, where users are celebrating and promoting looting, fining, and other criminal conduct if the benefits fail to arrive. And in one particular video that's cited here in the article, there's a guy irate over what he described as increased loss prevention staff at a major retailer, so people that are trying to prevent shoplifting. And he's urging viewers to resist store security and to help others take their goods. Randy, I shake my head. And we're 13 seconds out from commercial break, guys. Luke, stick with us. This is about to get really good. We're going to discuss this in a second. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, we all know we can buy our gear from a lot of different sources. And when you throw the online mix into it, the choices seem like they're limitless, right? But there is something that's extremely important that I want to remind our listeners about, and it's about supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know if a company does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And you know, even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk. They support dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And we're not done. For the loyal listeners of the show, they've given me a radio code to pass on to you guys. It's Radio 15. That'll get you 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. Again, Radio 15. That'll get you 15% off. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they'll be your new best friends at Gauls.com. Check it out and check out that cool gear. All right, guys, now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And you know, we're all familiar with their product called the Glove, and they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction De-escalation Technology. Now, that Glove product has helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and their revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip and Jeff sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're joined by, drum roll, please, we got Chief Ralph Ornelas, we got Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, Lieutenant Randy Sutton. So thanks for being on the show, guys. And you know, that I tell you, that intro outro music, you know, it's worth having that music just to watch Jeff's and Randy's heads bob up and down, you know, because they really get into it, you know. If you want, I can send you guys a digital copy of that music if you just want to play it around the house while you're walking around and you're, you know, in your court attire, Randy. So just want to throw that out there. But hey, we just got done talking about our second main topic, and I kind of had to break it off for our commercial break. But if Randy, you want to start us off on this one and kind of remind the audience on what you're talking about?
I forgot what the topic was.
Well, Ralph, you want to help us out?
With the looting issue, I think that it's disgusting. I think it's disgusting. I think I agree with you, Chip, that, you know, TikTok, I'm not on TikTok. I think it's inciting young minds, and for the voices and the words that these people put out to incite other people like them is going to go put law enforcement and the public in danger.
Well, you know, Ralph, while you were talking, I saw Jeff move that TikTok thing off his desk and out of the view of the camera. So, but I totally agree with you. Randy,
he has a right to do that. I mean, you know, it's a free country, you know?
All right. You guys are maligning TikTok. Okay. I get my best recipes and the cutest cat videos ever on TikTok.
All right. Pussycat, I love you.
I hope there's no royalty on that song.
These people that are out there talking about the looting, and isn't it amazing that what just a few years ago, anyone that actually went on video to talk about something like that would be looked at askance, going, "Well, you're a moron." Now they're celebrated. Now they're celebrated, and there are people that will follow them, which is like the lemming mentality that we're seeing in New York City. Because we're not talking about Mondami on this show today, but we really should be, because what's going to be happening in New York City if this guy gets elected is going to be absolutely irreversible for law enforcement in New York City.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Jeff, go ahead.
And I'll come at this from a kind of a different perspective, wherein I'm relatively conservative when it comes to the fiscal decisions of the government. And I just find it problematic that there even is a program out there where people feel so entitled to the handouts of the government. And the reality is that we need to change some things in this country, wherein, yes, we need to help people that are in need, but they also need to be held accountable and work towards getting themselves out of that situation where they need the federal assistance all the time. And it's just, that's where the abuse, I think, really comes, is where it's just a program where people don't put a limit to it. They don't put an end to it. And they don't require people to have a path forward to be able to navigate their financial lives on their own without the assistance of other people's taxpayers' dollars.
You know, Jeff, it's become an audience and all the on this panel. It's become generational, Jeff and Chip and Randy. And that's the frightening part of it. They're not working towards, you know, trying to get off that. I look at my parents, didn't have a pot to piss in, you know, and grow up in Brooklyn. And guess what? They never had a handout, and they just kept on working and diligently to sustain themselves. And I think it's become, like you said, Jeff, they think it's a right. And then they voice this stuff on the air. And I got to tell you, it's horrific. It's just horrific to me.
Well, guys.
Agreed.
Good commentary. Thank you guys so much. I just typed you a little private message there, Ralph. And if you guys are ready, we'll move on to the next topic, which is what I've been waiting to cover. So, and let's go ahead and make this happen. So, Chief, if you can go ahead and mute your microphone for me, and I'll go to the next story here. On this update, MSN.com, you got some pants on, officer? As a question. Policeman caught without pants on a court video call. So Detroit police officer was caught during a court appearance with his pants down, literally. So in a video obtained by ABC News, a Detroit police officer named Matthew Jackson is seen during a Monday court appearance via video conference. And guess what? He did not have any pants on. Now, Jackson, or we should say Officer Jackson, he's seated and he's wearing his police uniform shirt during a virtual proceeding at the 36th District Court in Michigan. So it's a court proceeding. It's official. We have a judge and everything. And he's wearing what appears to be undershorts, which soon prompt the expected question from the judge. And the judge says, "Hey, you got some pants on, officer?" And this is Judge Sean B. Perkins. So the officer says, "No, sir." And then he tilts his camera up so you can only see him from the waist up. And the dress code, of course, for a court emphasizes appropriate clothing. I'm not going to get into all that, but we all know that's not appropriate. The Detroit police chief, Todd Bettison, has to go on WXYZ. And he makes a statement involving the officer's action. They're not representative of the professional department and, you know, our apologies. And just, it's just an embarrassing moment for the chief of police. And I don't know if Randy, you noticed how old that dude looked that didn't have any pants on in the court appearance, but I was surprised the dude was even going to court and still a police officer. But go ahead, Lieutenant Randy Sutton.
All right. So remember the phrase, "Don't tase me, bro," how it went viral?
Yeah.
Well,
here's a new phrase coming.
This is going to go viral. This is going to be the new phrase. "Officer, do you have any pants on?" That's my prediction is that will be the next viral moment.
All right.
Right. And by the way, have you ever seen the Detroit police chief in action? He's a sweetheart too. He's a sweetheart too. Yeah, it's no wonder they had a great police chief. Now they got this guy. I saw an officer involved shooting incident the other day in Detroit, and within 24 hours, this chief went on television and completely threw his officer under the bus for In any other jurisdiction would be a perfectly justifiable shooting based on the body cam that I saw. And this virtual signaling chief came out there and completely vilified this officer before any actual investigation.
Wow. I see Ralph shaking his head agreeing with you, Chief Ralph. So, guys, we're coming up for a second commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And, yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And, you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer. And that means that now you guys can start getting your hands on this primo stuff. And their M5 AR 3-way platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less. When you can have the best, head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Again, that's AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBluck, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, and also Lieutenant Jeff Wenninger. So thanks, guys. We just got done talking about, and we're still talking about it, but it is the Michigan cop that does a court appearance via teleconference, and there's a video camera involved, and the judge asks him if he's wearing any pants because the judge can see from the waist down. It appears the dude has no pants on. He did have some briefs on, boxers or whatever, you know, but briefs. But anyhow, the officer admitted that he did not. And then he adjusts the camera so that the judge and the rest of the court can only see him from the waist up. So yeah, that's what we were talking about. Randy was giving commentary. I know some other guys might want to weigh in, but go ahead, gentlemen. Randy, go ahead and continue.
Oh, no, I think we're done with that subject.
Okay. Are we okay? Well, apparently the chief is not. Chief Ralph.
No, I, you know, it's just unbelievable. This guy, you know, would do that. This officer would do that. So unprofessional. And the other thing is, I think this guy has got something going on, a lawsuit, and he's just playing it along now that shows that his mental capacity is not there.
All right. So if you guys are ready,
you're reading a whole lot into this.
you really got to commend his honesty, though. I mean, at the end of the day.
Oh, look at Jeff.
He really was. I mean, how many people would have thought of something other than?
Can you imagine at his retirement party the fun they're going to have?
Wow. It's going to happen. You're right. All right. Moving along, gentlemen, we got a story with a video component. So rumble.com, our favorite. Oh, wait, I'll tell you what, hold that thought, because Randy Sutton's got an announcement. So before we talk about the shootout during a pursuit on the interstate, Randy Sutton, the author of the new book, Rescuing 911, the floor is yours.
All right. We have the Wounded Blue has an amazing event coming up this coming Wednesday. That's the 5th in Nashville. We're holding our first, what I hope will be an annual event, country music event at the Nashville Palace. I have some of the biggest stars in country music, including Vince Gill. I have Daryl Worley. I have Mark. If you look at our lineup of stars, and they're all volunteering their time to help injured officers. So if you're in Nashville, you go to the Wounded Blue website. It's only $40 for a ticket of this lineup of amazing country music stars. And we're also going to be honoring some officers who with the Order of the Blue Heart Award at this event. So this is going to be an amazing event. It's going to start 5:30. The doors open at the Nashville Palace this coming Wednesday in Nashville. You do not want to miss this. And get your tickets now.
All right. I love it. Hey, maybe you should use part of that voice for your book, Jeff, that reading.
I will. Yes.
He can do that for Rescuing 911. All right. And Jeff, since we're talking about books, how is On Thin Ice doing?
It's doing very well. You see, every time I have a speaking engagement, you see quite a spike. And I'll be making another announcement probably next week regarding the book. So it's kind of exciting stuff.
Jeff, you know, doesn't Jeff look tired? It must be rough having to go on the circuit and travel and lecture and talk about and sign autographs and like kiss babies and all that stuff. I really feel bad for you, Jeff.
You know, I don't mind doing it. It's just the travel that gets to you.
Yeah. Randy knows all about that.
He was a great guest. Jeff was a great guest talking about the book and his career on my podcast, A Cop's Life. And he has got a great story. If all of you get his book, because Jeff's story is absolutely amazing, and the book is the book you want to read.
All right, I love it. There, you can't get a better endorsement than that. So, and then of course we got Brett Bartlett, you know, talking about it too on Facebook here on the live stream. So, all right, thank you, gentlemen. Hey, moving along, I know I kind of whet the appetite for this next story. There's a video component to it. The story in the video is at rumble.com, and the name of the channel is called This Is Butter. It's our favorite law enforcement video channel. We have body cam footage released in a shootout during a pursuit that is on the interstate I-84. And we're in Manchester, Connecticut. So at 1:42 in the morning, you know, nothing goes on, nothing good happens at that time. Police conducted a traffic stop on a Lexus and in Manchester for an alleged, just a vehicle violation. So the bad guy operator, he's 39 years old. His name is Samuel Lee. He briefly stops and he talks to police, but then he flees towards the interstate I-84. And so he almost strikes a police cruiser while he's, you know, trying to get to the interstate. And then they initiate the stop stick. So they kind of show things in the video kind of out of order, but apparently the cop does the stop sticks first. And after he hits the stop sticks, he's on the on-ramp and getting on I-84 West. And so the tires are punctured, but he's still rolling pretty good. And so he goes all the way. He's on the interstate. There's cop cars, you know, chasing him. And he goes all the way to the right side emergency lane so he can get a bead on the cops that are chasing him. And he puts the freaking pistol out the window and starts firing shots. So we've got at least one cruiser is struck. We got Manchester police officer Kyle Busey. He returns fire, and you're unaware of it watching from, like, you know, dash cams and stuff. But when you're watching the cop in the car, you can clearly see he's returning fire from inside the car and stuff. And so Busey, he fires from his vehicle from inside the police cruiser. Our bad guy ends up surrendering to the officers at the scene. But later on, he's transported to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. But he ended up getting shot by the officer. And I think it was like I'll get to it in a second, in the hip or something. It says our bad guy had 6 outstanding arrest warrants from various jurisdictions. And I'm trying to see here where it was non-life-threatening injuries. But I think that he got hit in the hip or somewhere around there, which made me wonder how in the world did he get hit down there by our cop? Because I didn't see how it could possibly have gone through the driver's door. But anyhow, that's just one for me. But any commentary on this shootout? Guys, I'm looking at my notes here. And yeah, we've got dash cam. We got body cam, successful deployment of the spike strips, and a suspect is arrested off camera. Anybody want to make a comment on this one? All right, Randy Sutton, you're up first.
I'm just going to say happy ending. happy ending that that this officer, I mean, that's a pretty good shooting. That's some pretty good shooting. I'm not going to say there was luck involved, but pretty good shooting.
Yeah, you're talking about for the police side, right? Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah. And how we hit that bad guy again? I'm impressed. Final words. Okay, Randy. Oh, Chief, did you have a comment on this one?
No, just that way that the suspect angled that car like that, I kind of knew it that that's what he was going to do and leaning out. And I got to tell you, I commend that police officer for shooting from the car, moving car. And I'm not sure if he shot with his left hand or right hand on that. I couldn't tell on the body one camera, but he did a hell of a job on that.
Yeah, yeah. Jeff Reininger.
Yeah, I couldn't tell when I watched the video. Did they do the spike strips prior to the shooting or was it after?
The article said that it happened prior, but you are correct. When you watch the video, you see it afterwards. But they compiled the video. So the article says that when he's trying to get on the entrance ramp to get up on the interstate, that's when they deployed the spike strips. So they had already been deployed by the time the shooting happened.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you look at what the officers were doing, you know, they were incrementally escalating how they were addressing this individual. So they tried the spike strips initially, and it appears that the officer that was fired upon was trying to get in the position to conduct a pit maneuver. And obviously, generally, most policies prohibit you from doing that if you know the suspect to be armed with a firearm, but that wasn't the case in this circumstance. And it just kind of underscores how quickly things can change, where you just have a vehicle code violation, somebody that's failing to yield and pull over and is fleeing from the police. And what ultimately do you have? A guy who's willing to shoot at the police and kill the police because he has six warrants.
You know, I was coming back from vacation with my wife. I think we've been staying up at St. Augustine, and we're coming back on the interstate, and we're coming to the Orlando area. And we had gotten off for like some food or whatever, and we're getting back on the interstate. And then there's a unmarked car in front of us with a bunch of cops in it. And we get on the entrance ramp, hop up the interstate, and everybody's like hanging back like really, really slow. And I'm like, there's something going on, Pat. There's something going on. And sure enough, there's this big camper, huge thing. And none of the cops want to pass it, but there's more than now. I'm seeing a bunch of vehicles that are cool cars or marked cars that are staying back. And I'm like, something's going down. And so I realized that they're getting ready to do spike strips on this camper that's rolling down the interstate in front of me. And I realized that I need to get ahead of this thing because there's going to be a huge traffic jam and we're going to be sitting for friggin' hours. So I get all the way over in the fast lane and I make it in front of this camper just in time to watch the spike strips being deployed and ba-boom, ba-boom. And so, yeah, sure enough, not a car behind me made it out. I was like the lead car and all these cops, you know, anyhow, we're 10 seconds out and going, but it was a wild scene. And I didn't
know
not
they were
to,
cursing you out. They were cursing maybe they you were. Out.
Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Apianko. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency. If you're a chief or sheriff, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity, and you can go to GunLearn.com to get more info. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, and Lieutenant Jeff Weninger, who wrote the new book, On Thin Ice, at OnThinIceBook.com. So thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. And then we have a new guest, an intruder, Randy's cat. So thanks, guys. Hey, we've been talking about our first video story where we had a guy running from the cops and he's shooting on the shooting at them on the interstate, and they returned fire, and I'll be they got the bad guy, but and he survived. If there's no more commentary on that, gentlemen, we can go to our next story with a video component. We've got man armed with a replica firearm is fatally shot when he runs towards a San Diego police officer. Officers, plural.
Grab it again. Grab the dog.
Follow!
Again.
Fire me back.
Drop the gun or you're gonna get shot. Drop the gun or you're gonna get shot.
And this is also at rumble.com. This is Butter. So San Diego police, they've released body cam footage following a deadly officer shooting that happened in a place called City Heights. And it happened last month. The shooting happened around 6:30 in the morning on September the 23rd. According to police, officers responded to reports of an armed guy in his 40s, later identified as Hugh Lye. And that's H-U-Y-L-Y, 41 years old, at Fay Elementary School campus. So that's got to give you a little pucker factor. After the cops get there, they make contact with this guy, and he's holding a knife and what they believe is a firearm. And during the confrontation, they try to de-escalate the situation. They deploy beanbags and, of course, my favorite, the police canine. Video shows the guy running from the officers as they tell him to drop what they thought was a firearm. And then Lye runs. He runs on Orange Avenue, turns towards pursuing officers. He's still holding an apparent firearm, and then two officers end up opening fire, and then he's pronounced dead at the scene. After examination, the firearm was determined. It wasn't a real gun. It was a replica, but of course, you know, how do you know? And they also determined he possessed a knife that was later located, I guess, in the alley. And just looking at my show notes here, as the cops are using left lethal at 3 minutes and 30 seconds into this, the guy's armed with a handgun. He takes off on foot 8 seconds later after they fire a beanbag at him. And then cops give chase at 4 minutes and 23 seconds. He's fatally shot. When he turns around, he points the gun at pursuing police. And they do a freeze frame and a zoom as well. Commentary on this one, guys, anybody? Ralph, you know, you're up.
You know, I like the start of the de-escalation in the beginning and how they deployed the beanbag. I noticed the one from the body one camera. One officer says, okay, I got the taser and stuff. And then they shoot the beanbag and they hit him. And then the canine officer deploys the canine. Personally, I checked with one of my friends with an expert in training canines. I probably would not have left that canine off that suspect. I probably would have had maintained that canine on that suspect, on the bite, whatever, to control him and move in on him. I would have not allowed that suspect to run down the alleyway. That is just my tactical approach to that. But I like the fact that they progressed in an escalation, de-escalation of force. And unfortunately, the suspect, the cops, don't know that's a replica. They had to do what they had to do. The shooting's justified. But my initial was I would have contained that suspect. I would not have pulled off the canine.
I got you. Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Guys, Jeff Winninger.
Yeah, you know, first thing I'll comment on is I couldn't believe how calm the school administrator was that called 911. It's just kind of like, we have a guy, he appears to be homeless. He's sitting by the school and there's kids around and he's got a gun sitting next to him. I'm like, I think perhaps the school needs to train their personnel to recognize the severity of the potential threat here. Because they're, I suspect just out of the nature of how calm he was, that the school didn't go on any type of lockdown. They didn't, you know, secure their doors and that sort of thing. But I hope that there's been some lessons learned there. I just would have to, you know, tend to agree with Ralph. There were a lot of officers on scene and they deployed all the various tools to address this individual based on the resistance that they would be confronted with. The problem was they didn't do a very good job in containing him. You had enough officers there where they easily could have spread out. They were rather closely deployed, where that's a problem. If he's lead to believe he has a gun, if he can just fire you in your direction, if you're standing next to each other, there's a strong likelihood that one of you will be hit. So you want to tactically deploy various locations, try to split the concentration of the suspect where the potential of being addressed or confronted with the beanbag rounds or a taser or even lethal force are coming from different directions. And that's where they probably could improve in this circumstance. But, you know, by and large, I was impressed with their verbal communication, how they tried to obtain compliance through verbalization. They used less lethal. Just the improvement really needed to be on the containment.
All right. I
agree.
Well, Chief, if you guys are ready, I want to cover this off-duty officer in California that took out this dude at a motorcycle. I see Randy's getting excited. I can tell that. So police1.com, officer or off-duty officer crashes into a fleeing motorcycle to stop the suspect in killing of a California deputy. And how this guy survived. I mean, you're thinking about, you're taking a guy out on a motorcycle. You know, you think that this is the right thing that would happen, right? Especially after this dude killed a deputy. So this is in, is it Rancho Cucamonga, California? Did I pronounce that right correctly? Golly, I got one. An off-duty sheriff's deputy helped bring a deadly sequence of events to a close after driving into the path of a fleeing motorcyclist suspected of fatally shooting a San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department Deputy Andrew Nunes. Unfortunately, this was covered by NBC News. Now, I can only imagine. They say that he didn't hit the guy. He pulled in front of the guy. So this is, they don't get any worse than this. This guy took out a deputy, but I can only imagine what was running through his head as he's on a motorcycle, probably going at a pretty good clip. And this dude pulls up right in front of him. You know, the incident starts when the deputies respond to a report of a guy threatening a woman with a gun in Rancho Cucamonga, about 45 miles. It's by LA. So it's outside. It's east of LA. The suspect opened fire as deputies arrived, and unfortunately, it's got to be a luck shot, hit the deputy in the head. The 28-year-old deputy later died at the hospital. A 6-year veteran of the department, he had a 2-year-old daughter, and he was expecting another child. Horrible story. The suspect fled the scene on a motorcycle. There's a high-speed pursuit and going, reaching speeds over 150 miles an hour. The pursuit ended when an off-duty deputy that's driving in an unmarked sheriff's car intervened by positioning the car in the path of the motorcycle. I love it. The pursuit came to a conclusion, they say, with an off-duty deputy sheriff who put himself on duty and conducted a legal intervention by hitting the suspect on the motorcycle, according to Sheriff Shannon D. Dickus. Now, they said he actually hit the motorcycle, but, you know, the other part of the article says he pulled in front. But anyhow, the video of the incident showed the motorcyclist tumbling onto the freeway as the bike slid across the pavement. Law enforcement moved in, restrained him. Paramedics arrived. They airlifted him to the hospital, so he must have been pretty messed up. And he was stabilized, remains under medical care, and he's expected to be booked on suspicion of murder once he's medically cleared. Commentary on this one, guys. And Randy, you were first again.
Yeah, I mean, the horror here of this tragic set of circumstances. Now, how did this creature survive that crash? I mean, it's like they're like cockroaches that you can't kill them. They're like, you just can't kill them. I mean, let's hope that his injuries are going to be life altering injuries. That's all I can say is I hope that he is suffering for the rest of his life with those injuries while he's in prison. Of course, he's in California, so you never know what Newsom will do to commute his sentence, whatever judge will sentence this guy to. But let's just hope that those injuries will be a reminder for the rest of his life.
Hey, we can only hope that they mix him up with a transgender inmate at the prison and that he wakes up in the hospital after surgery. Because, you know, they pay for it over there, and that would be the fitting end for him. Chief Ralph.
You know, personally, I commend that off-duty deputy, what he did. I know the emotions about losing a partner, a deputy, a detective. But I can tell you, and Jeff could probably comment too, I know within the LA County Sheriff's policy and pursuit management, and this is just a review, a little bit of training here.
Well, guys, we're coming to a close. So Guys, thank you so much. Another great show. So Randy Sutton with the Wounded Blue. Hold that thought, Chief. We'll be able to do it as soon as the radio portion ends. Chief Ralph Ornelas and also Lieutenant Jeff Weninger. So thanks, guys. Hey, we usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. Randy, you've got about 20 seconds, so you've got the floor.
Well, if you want to support law enforcement officers who have been injured in the line of duty, go to thewoundedblue.org, see who we are, see what we do, and give what you can.
All right, I love it. And I contribute monthly, so I highly recommend you guys check them out at thewoundedblue.org. Hey, guys, our sponsors, check them out, support them. They go to great lengths to bring this content to you. Our title sponsor, Gauls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.life, SafeguardRecruiting.com, TwoBells.com. Check out that online store at LegalRoundTable.com and FisherOrlandoBass.com. We'll see you guys next week, Monday, 12 noon Eastern.